You know, Brother Philip, he was talking about that, having teenagers, not looking forward to it. I promise you, if you don't have them yet, you don't know what you're missing. So, it's coming. But it is a good thing when they get out of those years and they get past them, and then you start really loving them again and enjoying their company. So, but that is something that is said often, is it's not the same for us now. It's not the same thing now as what it was for you. It's said that way all the time, and that is something that he said is so true that it doesn't matter. The Lord doesn't change. And that's where my mind is. My mind is about something we're going to go back and look at in Chronicles, and it's this, the thing that the Lord had given them and taught them, all they had to do was follow it, and they'd been all right. A lot of times, we get in our mindset and we want to go our own directions, come up with our own ideas. The best game plans and the best way to do things are already given to us by the Word of God. It's already laid out for us. When we start to think we know something, we better go back and read the Word of God and ask, is that what the Lord laid out for us? Is that the guidelines and the instructions He gave us? Because if it's not that way, then it's not the best way we can do it. You know, in Thessalonians here, 2 Thessalonians says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And when it says traditions there, you can go over the same as in 1 Corinthians of being ordinances. And it's not talking about y'all have new books. It's not talking about you can't change the books, because it's tradition that we always use, and I don't even know the name of the other one, but we always use that book. It's not talking about the color of the carpet or the pews or anything like that. It's talking about the words of God that He's laid forth, that we hold fast to those things. If you want to change the layout of the building, you want to change how it looks on the color of the carpet and all that, the color of the paint, that's fine. But when it comes to the things that are important that the Lord laid out, that's what we have to make sure we hold fast on. Those are the things that we have to be secure to, and we have to make sure we know what they are. Because when we're not prepared and we don't know what they are, they can slip by us. And Lord willing, that's what I want to look at over here. These two chapters right here, and I think they're a great teaching of being of preparing, of following, and rejoicing. And the other one is the lack of preparation, the lack of knowing what you're supposed to do, and the separation. Those are the two outcomes that can come from over here. When David wants to bring in 1 Chronicles 13, he wants to bring the Ark of the Lord back into the land. He wants to bring it back into them. And in chapter 13 and chapter 15, there's vast different outcomes that take place. It's a hugely different thing that takes place. But it's not because the Lord changed. The Lord was the same Lord that delivered it in 15 as that could have delivered it in 13 if they would have followed what the Lord had laid forth. So Lord willing, let's look at that. Verse 2 says, David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites which are in the cities and the suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. He said, and let us bring again the Ark of God to us, for we inquired not of it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the things was right in the eyes of all the people. Well, I'll tell you, we can start right there. A few things that are going to be said. If you go back into Numbers, you're going to see the Lord had already laid out of how it was supposed to take place and who was supposed to handle the Ark of the Lord. Who was supposed to make sure that it got taken down, that it got carried, how it was supposed to be done, and what kind of punishments come along with not doing it. They knew what it was, but you know what? David wasn't consulting to the Lord first. He was like, if it's all good with everyone here, and if it's good with all you, and with the Lord, and with them, then we'll do this. They didn't say, in verse 4, they didn't say, well, we pray to God and the Lord has shown us and blessed us that it is good. They said that it was right in the eyes of all the people. Things can look right in our eyes. See, things can seem good unto us that aren't right with God. How many times in our lives did it seem like you were doing really good and you were doing something that was right, and it just did not have the outcome that you thought it ought to have? I mean, they are bringing the Ark of God back into the land. You would think that there would be no problems. There could be nothing bad that could come and result from this. How many times do you think church has said, well, if we set something up like this, we would get more people in. We'd be able to preach the gospel of the truth to these people if we just changed a few things that would appeal to them, that they would come in. Doesn't seem like that would be that bad. You're getting more people to come in to the congregation to be able to preach the truth. The problem is you bent the truth to be able to do that. And once you bend the truth, it is no longer the truth. That's it. So they're talking, it's good in our eyes to do this. We are good with this. Well, they bring it. So they put it on, verse 7 says, and they carried the Ark of God in a new cart, and out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Aho, the names forgive me, drove the cart. And David and with all Israel prayed before God. And when they came unto the threshing floor, the ark is going to rock, it's going to shake. And all the man does is put his hand up on the Ark of God to stop it from falling. Now there again, if you read that, you think, well, that's not bad. The Ark of God was going to tip off and was going to fall. He was protecting it. He put his hands up to stop it. That's not too bad to do. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. It was wrong because God had said, if you touch this, you will die. And the God that is the God there is the same God that was the God back then. And when He said that they were going to die back then, He meant they'd still die now, in their time. That's how it works. He's still the same God as it is today. When He says His words, it's the same. When He says it, it's not like us. We say something we can realize later on, well, maybe I didn't say that quite right. I know these two men over here, they've been preaching way longer than me. They probably know that they come down, I didn't say that right. I don't think I got that right. And I probably do it way out more than they do. You know, you just don't get it right. And you knew how it should have been. You knew how you were supposed to say it. Well, our God that we're here worshiping tonight, He doesn't have that problem. He doesn't have the problem. When He spoke it, it was one time. He spoke it, and that was the way it was. That's how He said it back then, that if you touch this, you will die. There was only a set group of people that could do this, a set group of people that could carry it, and He told them, you're going to carry it, but if you touch it, you shall surely die. Well, guess what? This man tries to stop the Ark of God from falling, and he puts his hand up, and he is struck down. And the first thing, David is displeased. It says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And David was, in verse 12, it says, and David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? David was displeased and afraid of God. He wasn't sure why God would do this. He's trying to bring the ark back into his land. He's trying to just make sure he does something good, gets it back in amongst the people. The man wasn't doing anything that seemed that bad. He was just putting his hand up to stop the cart, stop it from falling off the cart. This does not seem like there's anything that is that bad. And I tell you, If you've not been blessed to understand the Word of God, and you've not been blessed to see the glory of God, and you read something like this, you'd probably be thinking, what kind of God is it? What kind of God is it? It's the kind of God that we're thankful for, because we know that He's the same God then as He is here, as He is today. But if you're not sure about it, you read it and say, that doesn't seem like a fair God. It's the same thing that happens when you talk about Romans 9. You say, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated. And people look at you funny and they say, God doesn't hate anybody. He does, because we are thankful, because we know that He should hate us all. But in spite of who we are, He loves. He loves us. And we can be thankful and praise God for it, not just because we're so smart and we understand, because I assure you that's not it. It's because God has blessed us to have the understanding, to understand why these things are so wonderful to know and to read and to get this. Well, David stops it and says, I can't bring this into the land. This isn't what I can do. And he leaves it at Obadiah's house. But what happens? Does bad come upon Obadiah and his house? No, blessings rain upon Obadiah and his house. Blessings come upon it. Why? Because where God is, blessings are.
Amen.
That's what happens. But David didn't think. He said, I can't bring this in. I better not do this. Let's leave it there. Well, I tell you, when we start going down the wrong road and things don't seem right, we need to stop and we need to go back and we need to ask God, Lord, please help us to have understanding. Help us to get it. Well, see, we go over just two more chapters. And I love, if you go back into 2 Samuel, you'll read it. And in 2 Samuel, it goes right back in. There's no really division about it. He leaves it at Obadiah's house, and then there he's getting it again and he's bringing it. Well, you don't see the difference of what takes place. You come over here and what happens? David says, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. David has prepared a place. He has gotten ready a place for this ark of God to come. He has got this stuff. He is preparing what's going to take place. He's understanding that, you know, before it was also the Levites, and now it's none but the Levites. This is the only way it's going to go down. This is the only way this is going to work out. That's how we ought to be in all that we do, is none but what the Lord has laid forth and the Lord has said, that's all we're going to follow. That's all we're going to do His way and what He has laid forth for us. Now, does that mean it's going to be the easiest way? Surely not, because if you go back to chapter 13, he got a bunch of men together. He said, gather everybody together. Let's build a nice new cart. Let's put it on that and let's bring it into the land. Now he's got to find a group of men, a certain group of men to bring it in, to carry it a certain way, to make sure that they carry it a certain way that it not fall off, because you can't touch it. It's not easy to follow the Lord, because our nature is not that way. The Lord didn't tell us it was going to be easy. I tell you, I think when we first come down and ask for a home in a church, sometimes we're so lifted up and we're so moved when we first, well, I'll say when I first joined, it felt like it was just going to be easy. Now all of a sudden I was a member of the church. I'm starting to have understanding. I'm getting it. It's going to be a lot easier now. Life is going to be a lot easier. You know, the things that I struggled with before, they're going to be gone. I'm a member of the church. I'm loving the Lord. I'm doing better. I'm living better. Everything's going to be easier. Boy, that's not how that goes down. That is not how that works out. We have to remember that when we open ourselves up to the Lord, the devil puts an eye on us. There's where I'm going. Before, he didn't have to worry about us because we were doing it ourselves. Now we're striving to go after the Lord. It's coming after us. And that means we have a harder battle, but the battle we realize is worth fighting. The battle's worth staying on course no matter how tough it is, no matter how hard it is. no matter what it seems like, being in the church. You know, this morning I tried preaching on something, and the men were laughing at Jesus because he went into a young girl's house and they said, "She's dead." And he said, "She's but asleep," and they start laughing at him, making fun of him. You know, he kept going. He kept going because he knew what he was supposed to do. He's God. He knew what was going to happen. You know what? That's the same God that's on our side. When we talk about, when they say, "Well, why don't you do this?" Why? Because the Lord laid out that this is what we're supposed to do. Sing, preach, and pray. Why do you still have communion with wine? Don't you have children in the church? Don't you use grape juice for them? No, because the Lord said it's wine. This is what we're supposed to use. You really use that unleavened bread? That stuff, that doesn't taste too good. You know what? That's what we're supposed to do because that's what the Lord had put forth. You mean you literally still get down there and wash each other's feet? You know, that's just a picture of how we're supposed to live. No. Christ got down and washed their feet. We can get down there because He gave us the example. He said, "You ought to do this." No matter if they're laughing at us out there in the world, no matter how hard it might seem, we do it because there's blessings to come. And David here sees it, and we'll see it when we keep going. He tells them that none ought to carry but the Levites. And David assembled all the children of and the Levites and the sons of Kohath. And those are the ones that were instructed back in Numbers that they could carry. They were the ones that were instructed that they could carry the Ark of God. Only those. Certain people. You know, I think about it. You think about it and they say, only men get to preach where you're at? Only men get to be deacons where you're at? Well, that doesn't seem politically correct. That doesn't seem right. You know what? The Lord, He knew what He was doing. When He laid forth, He said, "This is how it's supposed to be. Only these are going to carry, are supposed to carry the Ark of God." That's how it be. If it's going to hurt someone else's feelings, the Lord didn't ask that. He said, "This is how it's going to be." The Lord laid forth of who was to preach His gospel. He would call them. Because I'll assure you, if you looked, just me, you looked at me, you'd say, "I can't believe He called him. Why would He have called him? There's so many other men out there that, you know, He could have called." Well, He doesn't call the ones that seem to make sense in our natural eyes. Because I know a bunch of preachers. And I think that about falls that way for about every one of us. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows who He's calling and why He's calling them. He knew that these were the ones that were supposed to carry and only them alone. So as they continue down, verse 19 says, "And He said and said unto them, 'Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, and you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the due order." And I love that, the due order. That is what we're supposed to follow, the due order. He said, because we didn't do it at first, He made a breach of us. Because we didn't follow the due order. The Lord has laid forth. He didn't leave it to where they didn't know what the due order was. They knew what the due order was. The Lord had laid out what the due order is. We know what the due order is. The Lord has laid it forth for us. We might not want to stick to it, but we know what it is. We know what we're supposed to follow. He said, and I tell you, David comes back and is a great lesson for me that he made a mistake at one part. And he comes back and he says, "I know I made a mistake. Only you all are going to carry it." He changes his wording. He says he goes from the new cart to the due order. He changes what he made the mistake. He's king over all of them, and yet He's making sure that He is still realizing that God is over him, and when he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake, and he needs change, because it's not right with God. When I make a mistake, and I maybe take something, and I preach something wrong, and someone comes and says something to me, I need to be willing to realize I'm but a man, and I can make a mistake also. And I need to change it. I assure you, I was asking a preacher yesterday about something, how did he believe one thing or believe another, because there are so many different writings on it that they all share different opinions. And he told me, he said, well, I hear so many different people are divided on that. It goes one way or the other. And I really had an opinion on it, and I really felt like I knew what it was, but this morning when I went to go preach on it, I just felt like God, just leave that one be. That wasn't that important to what the Lord had blessed me to have understanding to try to preach, that I didn't need to get hung up on that. Because if there's something not everyone agrees on, then they're going to focus on that. The glory goes to God. Make sure that we are willing to be as David is here and say, I come back, I made a mistake, now only you are going to do this. We're not making new carts, we're not going to have everybody carry it, we're going to follow the due order of what is taking place. We're going to make sure we follow that. When it comes to a church body and we have things come about and maybe we make decisions and we vote on things and it's not what we ought to have done, we need to be willing to also stand up and say, you know what, we need to change that. We need to make sure we go back and say, we made a mistake. We need to change that right there. But boy, is that a hard thing to do. Is it a hard thing to do for us that when you maybe were so adamant about something and you defended it with everything you had, to be willing to say, you know what, I was wrong and we need to change. And I'll tell you, for 9 years, Brother Philip has known me, I will defend my point for as hard as I am, everything I've got in me. But if you can prove to me I'm wrong, I also am willing just to change right then. Because I also realized when I first came into the church, I didn't know anything. So I had to be willing to have an opinion and have a thought, but I also had to be remember that when someone understands it better and can show me out of the Word of God that I'm wrong, I need to change it because that's the Word of God and I know it's right. David does. He changes. He changes what he does. And as he continues down, they're bringing the Ark of God to him. It says in verse 25, it says, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obadiah with joy. And it came to pass, God helped the Levites that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. God helped them. God was on their side helping them because they were following the due order of what the Lord had laid forth to do. God was on their side helping them. The other time, they're on their own path, they're doing it their own way, and one is struck down, and there's a breach amongst them. He's struck down. He's separated. That's what takes place when we don't go our way. The difference is a death, a separation, and we follow the way of the Lord, and there's help and there's blessings to be had. That's the difference. Our way leads to separation and death. The Lord's way leads to help and blessings. That is a great thing to know and to remember and to hold fast to. And as they continue to bring it down, there's rejoicing. David is rejoicing. You know, I think about how I rarely even say amen out loud, or I don't say anything. I sit there and rarely even nod my head. You know, I might really like something and the insides light up and I think that was a wonderful point and no one might know it but me and God. Well, you know, David didn't hide from that, no matter if he was king or not. He wanted them to know how excited he was and what a great blessing it was to have the Ark of God come back into his land. No matter if his wife agreed with it, no matter what it was, he made sure he showed, and he wasn't showing it just for the people to see. He was showing it for God to see, for God to know. When we are in that spot, when we know that the Lord is blessing us, the Lord is delivering us, and He's delivered us, we need to make sure that we show God, and we don't stop there, but we show one another. We show each other, because when you see it in someone else, it can lift us up. It can lift us up and it can help us, because who knows what the one that's going through, that is having a hard time, that needs that. It didn't come from us ourselves, it came from God. Those people that are, like Sister Pam, that are in rough spots. You know, we had a member at Liberty, and I would go see him at the nursing home. And the only thing he wanted to talk about was, how was church today? How was church today was a blessing. I hope I can get back to church. He wasn't worried about getting out of nursing home. He wasn't worried about how much time he had left. He wasn't worried about, didn't want to talk about anything about that. He wanted to know how church was, what'd you preach on, how was it going, how was everybody. His spirits, when you left there, would lift your spirits up, because you know you should have been more like him. You should be more like Sister Pam and have that uplifting, that upbeat feeling about the Lord, and be thankful for everything, even though it seems like nothing's going right. We can have so much going right in our lives so often and forget to be like David and be rejoicing in the Lord. I forget it all the time, but we need to make sure that we prepare like David did in chapter 15. That we follow the due order of what the Lord has laid forth. And we rejoice in the Lord when He delivers us. When He gives us that. Rejoice in Him. Not in the way that we did it. Because you know, if they would have done it, and if chapter 13 would have worked out, then all of a sudden it would have been David's ways. And it would have been the ways he chose to do. And it wouldn't have been of the what the Lord had said. And what the Lord had said back in Numbers was irrelevant today. And then the things of the children saying was not the same now as it was for you would be true. But our Lord doesn't work that way. It was the same, so He made sure that David didn't get the glory. David didn't get the credit. Those things didn't work out, and His words weren't changed. He made sure they knew it was the due order. Follow My ways and blessings will come. Follow My ways and you'll be able to have something to rejoice in. Why? Because when they didn't follow His ways, the ark of God stayed at Obadiah's house and the blessings stopped short of being with His people. May the Lord bless you, my prayer.